Grace to you and peace this afternoon from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Amen. Today I'd like to look with you at the joy of the Lord as is prophesied to be yours in Isaiah chapter 61. So if you want to open there, we can begin looking at this prophecy together from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted, because He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? You have a faint heart today? A faint spirit? God says, I'm going to take that away and give you a mantle of praise instead. How about, are you uncomforted? God says, I'm going to comfort those who mourn. Do you have ashes? God says, I'm going to give you a garland instead of ashes. This is a prophecy about great things. And how's God going to do it to us, give us these things? It's really through His Word. The Lord has anointed me, somebody, that is, to preach good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound. So what God is intending in this passage, as I've seen in the last verse of it, says, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, as a garden causes what's sown in it to grow, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So what God is promising in this prophecy is, just like a garden, He's going to cause righteousness and praise, shouts of joy, to come over all the earth. Do you have shouts of joy in your life right now? Well, I bet you. And I'm telling you, by the end of this sermon, we should have joy, shouts of joy welling up inside of us, because God's Word never returns home empty. It's not because Greg's Word is anything, but because God's Word, which I'm going to be preaching to you here, is going to do what it's promised to do, which is to cause righteousness and shouts of praise and joy and gladness to spring up inside you. You ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's first figure out then where this joy, this power, this gladness comes from. Who is this talking about here? Isaiah chapter 61? Can we verify that? God teach us? Jesus, right? That's the answer to every good question, right? Let's just verify this, make sure we know where this joy, this gladness, this liberty comes from. It says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus came to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up, and He went to the synagogue, as His custom was, on the Sabbath day. And He stood up to read, and there was given Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He opened to chapter 61. Because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him, and He began to say to them, And He sat down, the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him, and He began to say, this day this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. How about that? Huh? This day this scripture, Isaiah 61, has been fulfilled in me. That is, God teaches us by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures that this promise of gladness, of comfort, of relief, of liberty is going to come in one place and one person and one alone. That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Amen? Praise be to God. And what's He going to bring us? He's going to be recovering of sight to the blind, to give us light to those who are in darkness so that we see the way we should go. He's going to release you from the prison door of sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin, but if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Right? And He's going to give us comfort to those who are afflicted. He's going to anoint us with the oil of gladness instead of ashes. He's going to put a garland upon her neck, it says, instead of a faint spirit. Is that what you're experiencing today? Oil of gladness, or do you have a faint spirit? Do you have ashes, or do you have shouts of joy? Well, if you're not experiencing those things, the Word of God is going to do that in and through His preaching today. Well, let's take a look, I thought today, at some of the things that stifles, or at least that mutes, this Word of God in our lives. One of the things that I see happening a lot is that we get too busy for the Word. Because it's really the Word that brings these things to us. And at this time of year especially, anybody out there been busy? Any minutes left over for the Word? Left over? Is that the way we should treat the Word? Well, I know even in, you know, my life as a pastor, I'm supposed to be all about the Word. Sometimes my life gets so busy, I don't get down for my own personal devotions with the Lord in the morning. And I can feel the difference when I don't. And so, let's take a look at some of the passages about that. The warnings here. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. You know the story. Some upon the rocks, some among the thorns, some in the good soil. Let's look at the ones in the thorns, though. He says, and as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, this is really about people who are going after the desires of this life, the riches and treasures here. But it can also, I think, be about us being choked by the word by simply being distracted and amazed and dazzled and preoccupied with all the things that go on in this life, which are okay to do, but not okay to do if it takes away the word from us. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? The word of God is what's going to create these things in us. It never returns to them void. But if the word is out of our hearts because we're just too busy, then we're that joy, those shouts of gladness, are going to be muted. Let's take a look at another place. It says in Matthew chapter 22, he says, tell those who are invited to my marriage feast, behold, I've made my dinner ready, my oxen, my calves I've killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it. And one went off to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants and treated them shamefully. Are we treating the word lightly here? God gives us a wonderful story, which has been recorded for us in Scripture. That would be in Luke chapter 10, to really counsel us, especially at this busy time of year, what He wants for us. And you know the story well. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his word, or teaching, but the word there in Greek means word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. If you've been busy and distracted and you really haven't had the joy of gladness anointing you this holiday season, why don't you take a moment right now in the sermon, as it says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. Be still and know that Jesus has set you free from your sins, and He has given you the oil of gladness. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Another thing I think that stifles the joy that we have at this passage is that we like, or through unbelief, want to continue wallowing in our sin. Let's take a look at what this says to us again in Isaiah 61. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Instead of your shame, it says in verse 7, you shall have a double portion. Instead of dishonor, you shall receive in your lot. Therefore, in your land you shall possess a double portion. Yours shall be an everlasting joy. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Do you find that when you hear the gospel preached to you, you say, amen, I believe it, and then you begin to think, oh, but what a wicked, terrible person I am. Oh, and we seem to sometimes think we know better than God. Okay, God has punished my sins on Christ on the cross. He's saved me. He's covered me with the robe of his righteousness. But I know better than him, better than he. I need a little more punishment for my sins. And we forget that Christ has paid a great price for you. You know, your grace was not obtained cheaply. You may think, oh, it comes just by a word. It's so free, I have to continue to suffer for my sins. That's not true. It does come to you freely, but it doesn't come to you at no cost. It came at the cost of God paying everything in the person of Jesus Christ, ransoming us with his blood. So, let's just stand up for a second. Few, like Drew, or like myself, have come here today forgetting the gospel of God. Do you know, mercy is for God not to give you what you deserve, punishment, right? But grace is to give you what you don't deserve, which is super kindness. Think about that. If I'm a judge and I don't condemn you, I'm being merciful. If I'm a judge and I'm gracious to you, I say, not only have I forgiven you, but would you come and be my son? Would you come and dwell with me today? And I have a new robe for you. And I'm a king. I'll cover you with the robe of my righteousness. Come along with me, my adopted child. Would you let God cover you today? Turn around. Would you let God cover you today with the robe of his righteousness? For this is what it says there in Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland. And we'll stop there because you're not a bride. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Drew. Would you let God cover you today with the robe of his righteousness? If you actually see yourself walking out of here tonight, today, with his covering, his perfection, not your sin, he's taken that away through his cross, through your faith in him. You are washed, you are cleansed, you are whole. God wants you to walk out today saying, he's not only had mercy on me as my judge, he's adopted me as his own child. I'm walking out of here with the robes of the king. And that's what it says in the scriptures, right? Without us, Paul says, you've become rich. Without us, you've already become kings. And would that you did reign, that we might rule with you. God has made you a royal child. Let him cover you today with the robe of his righteousness. And forget your own sin, of which you're ashamed, and I'm ashamed of mine too. But God's taken that away on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe it and take it into your heart and rejoice, for God has comforted you. One more thing. Here's another one. What stifles our shouts of joy and the oil of gladness and his anointing upon us? I think another one is the fact that after having been saved by him, we continue to suffer in this life. We bemoan our lot. Oh, we grieve over our present day situation. It stinks. You know, it's not as good as it should be, Lord. And I'm bemoaning my fate here, even though, yeah, I rejoice in your salvation. But is that really the way that we should go? Remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He had this great triumph on Mount Carmel. A short time later, he runs away to Mount Sinai, scared, basically tired from his ministry. And he feels like he's the only Christian left on the earth, basically. And God says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel. have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away. Does he have the oil of gladness? Is he jumping up and down for joy? He loves the Lord. He's faithful. God loves him. But God's saying, what are you doing here? Right? And then what's God say to him? Verse 15, go, return on your way to Damascus, and when you arrive there, you shall not anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. In other words, I'm not done with you yet. You got work to do here. Dust that dust off your back and get up and be about my business. And then he comforts him with this word. He says, Elijah feels I'm the only one left. God says, I've left for myself 7,000 in Israel who've not bowed their knees to Baal. You're not the only one left. Peter picks up on the same thing. He says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Are you bemoaning your faith today? Oh, Lord, my life, I got so many problems. Yeah, well, guess what? So do you. So do I. So do you. So do you. So do you. Is there any Christian who doesn't have a whole lot of problems in their life? Maybe there are a few that are a little better off than others, but you know that can stifle us because we think that's our lot. But you know what? What did that scripture just tell you? In the midst of your sufferings, who's with you?
Jesus.
What are you doing here, Elijah? Right? I'm with you. I've kept others. I got more work for you to do. And guess what? I'm going to bring you to a great place. And this is your lot. Rejoice in your sufferings, as Paul says. For it's working in you righteousness, character, steadfastness, the image of Christ. God's not left you alone in your afflictions. And don't let then your afflictions douse the flame of your joy or mute your shouts of gladness. For, you know, God is with us, and he's promised this in Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good. Can you take that to your heart right now? Take it in. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, says the Lord. The expectation of the wicked in wrath. So we'll conclude then with these words from Isaiah chapter 61. Again, instead of your shame, God says, you shall have a double portion. Instead of dishonor, you shall rejoice in your lot. Therefore, in your land you shall possess a double portion. Yours shall be an everlasting joy. For as the garden causes what is in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We've got a living God, a living Savior, Jesus Christ. He's fulfilled this passage. He's fulfilling it in you now. And he's going to bring you to the day when your joy shall not be taken from you in perfection. For there'll be no more afflictions. There'll be no more sufferings. There'll be no more thought of sin. But even now, those are away, taken away. And God is with you in the midst of his people. Let's rejoice in his salvation today as he takes away our faint spirit and anoints us with the oil of his gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.